Welcome everybody. Today is October the 13th, 2022. And today we are talking about getting it out there. And I know for some of you, there was a Zoom, Diane was telling me there was a Zoom link issue. So hopefully you got the note in Slack to tell you how to get here. If not, you're listening to my voice in the recording afterwards. And thank you, Diane, for letting us know about that. And so super excited about today's call, getting it out there. You can think of it as kind of like a sneak preview about stage three for some of you. And for some of you, it's going to be you're on the court doing those stage three actions. So what it is, why it matters. And with that sneak preview is going to help you take the actions if you're when you're working on stage one and stage two, so that your actions are effective and and it's just a lot more fun when we're doing the things that really move the needle, right? So, and also we're right in between the challenge and story freedom. So it's a perfect time to be talking about those stage three activities. So let's begin. I know, Carly, you've got something to share, but I'm like, let me see. Do we do that first? Let's start. You can hear me bouncing off the ceiling. I am really excited about this call. So let's get me grounded. Let's get you guys grounded too. And I'm in my bouncy puppy mode today. So let's get us grounded by Shavasana. So you can either do Shavasana or a seated meditation. I love to begin this way. And again, often, Carly, you're already there. I suggest camera off. And if you're listening to the recording as well, make sure you go to a place where you can be at ease, undisturbed, so you can take these few minutes to go inward. So if you're seated, sit with the spine erect, eyes closed, legs and arms uncrossed. If you're doing Shavasana, lie down in a comfortable place where your low back is comfortable, your chin is lower than the forehead, and we're in a place where you're not bumping into stuff, so that the arms, the legs can be relaxed and released. If I were lying down here, the curtain beside me, my arm would be bumping into it. I'd move further away so that I'm not contracting. I'm expanding instead into the space we're in. The practice is a metaphor. When we allow ourselves to expand in space, we allow ourselves to expand in our lives and our companies as well. So arms about 30 degrees away from the body, legs a comfortable distance apart. Softly close your eyes. And then make any adjustments here you need to be comfortable. So adjusting the head and neck, adjusting, placing your legs up on a bolster or your calves up on a chair if you need that to release the low back. Placing a support beneath the head and neck if you need it, a folded blanket or a pillow. And then when you are comfortable, take comfort and find stillness. When the body is moving, it keeps the mind busy. When the mind is busy, it makes the body want to adjust and adjust. So use that little bit of will. You know, here's a great place to use our will, just a little bit of willpower, or just focused intentionality, better word, to remain still. And as the body remains still over the next couple of minutes, the mind starts to become quiet as well. And in this quiet and still place, let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Let go of whatever came before. Let go of any thoughts that are pulling you elsewhere. Let go of your to-do list. Let go of what other people are doing. Let go of past actions, future intentions, just be here, letting the whole body release. Relax the legs. Relax the torso. Relax the arms and shoulders. Soften the collarbones, soften the throat, relax the back of the neck, relax the skin of the scalp. Let the forehead be soft and smooth as butter. Let go of any expression, any face that you, we meet the world with a certain expression. Let go of the face that you hold for meeting people in public. It's not needed here. Just let those muscles release in the face. Let go of any face you hold for your family. Notice how the tiny muscles release when we do that. No need for that face here. Let go of the face you hold for public relations, public and world affairs. Let that go. Let all the tiny muscles of the face go. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Let the tongue rest gently in the bottom of the mouth. Teeth slightly parted. Lips touching, not touching, barely touching. And now watch the breath. Feel the ease of this breath in this moment, here and now. No other thoughts but the breath. Thoughts arise. When they start to arise, let them go. Not needed right now. Just this moment of this breath. With each exhalation, letting go of expectations, letting go of desires, letting go of this breath, not needing there to be anything else. Deeply, with each exhalation, letting go. And then letting go of Shavasana as easily as you came in, not holding on, begins with the thought that soon you will move. Start to move in any way that's comfortable to you. Bend the knees, give yourself a big hug. Rocking gently from side to side to massage the lower back. Softly open the eyes, gaze toward the ceiling, soft eyes. No pulling the light in, simply because the eyes are open, the light reaches the eyes, no strain, no effort, just receiving. And then rolling over to your right side, support your head with your right arm and wait. Just be. Keep the gaze toward the floor. Keep the head and neck soft. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting, keeping that same quiet energy. Return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. It trains that one-pointed attention. It lets us connect with each other. It stops all the distractions so we can be present in this moment. The way we want to be for all our company, every moment in it, and for our lives, present. Yay. Welcome back, Carly. Welcome back, Diane. Welcome, Marie. Oh, I speak you through it, but I experience it too. Such a beautiful practice. Every single time, something similar in its relaxation and profound calming effects. And each time new because it's this practice. I'd love to hear from each of you, if possible, one thing that you loved in this practice today. Who would like to begin? Diane, I see you reaching first.
Well, it was more awareness. So when you had mentioned relaxing your scalp, that just felt so good. And then relaxing the mouth, and I could feel tension up along my jaw. And then there was like a big sigh.
I
was like, oh, feels good.
So good. I love that. And awareness of just the even one place, tension in the jaw. And we hold tension in ways we don't even know. It's leaking energy throughout our day. A few minutes in Shavasana, we become aware. And it actually physiologically, it changes us. It changes our bodies by that action. It changes our levels of energy. It changes our focused intentionality. And even it changes our heart rate. We lie in Shavasana from 3 years of having a Fitbit. I get curious. And sometimes I break my Shavasana to check. It actually changes our heart rate. And I'm convinced that, you know, I told my doctor the other day what my resting heart rate is, Fitbit checked. And she's like, really? That's really good. And I'm convinced a deep part of it is just repeated practice of Shavasana, letting go. It actually changes our bodies. So that tension in the jaw, release it, completely different results in our bodies, in ourselves, in the way we interact and how we experience our day. Thank you, Diane. Beautiful. Let's hear what you loved. Carly, Marie, I'd love to hear from each of you. We can do that today. Yeah, Carly.
Interesting you say that physiological change, because the first time we did Shavasana, I noticed that, and I didn't realize how, I don't know if it was blood pressure back then or what, but just kind of how much energy I had going on and then stopping in the day. Today, what I really loved was relaxing my face, and how you had talked about the different faces that we hold. I hadn't really thought about that before, and that really brought a great awareness for me.
Isn't it amazing? And words are so powerful. The first time I experienced that, I still remember, and I've done this many, many times. I don't bring this in very often here, so thank you for underlining that, Carly. We don't even know we're holding that face, and all those tiny muscles, like contracting and needing to be somebody for somebody else. And that simple act, again, we stop that leak of energy. We become aware of what's even going on. And then more of us, big self, who we really are, showing up in every single place from that one simple act. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. Yes. Marie.
Well, I just came from a massage and entered here, and it just felt like the perfect way to go from one kind of relaxed state to another.
What great practices back to back. So beautiful. And the ways we hold tension throughout our body, we release in, say, a massage, there's different ways to release, and we release in Shavasana. And what I love is the way it works the other way around. I don't think I've ever said this, but your comment brings this to mind, Marie. When we can quiet the mind in Shavasana, every other activity, including massage, gets enhanced. Have you ever been to massage or related practice, but your mind is so busy that you weren't even really there, so you didn't experience it? Yeah, I'm seeing nods around the room, right? So the practice itself helps us deepen all those other practices that serve and support us. Beautiful. Anything else wanting to be said about this practice today? It's been a while since we've had a chance to do this together. We've been doing other things, so really enjoying this time together here in this way. Okay, so let me see. Oh, wins. Carly, before the recording, because you're asking me about something, and I know there's been that win and a bunch of other wins too, so love to hear some wins. And I with a shout out to Carly first, because I know you're like brimming with them lately.
Yes, I'm really, really excited. We just had a meeting we were invited to yesterday to prepare a proposal for some early concepts for a high-rise residential tower in Las Vegas. So really, really excited about that. It's been a long time since I've worked on one, but back before the recession, I had done so many concepts like this, like they became very second nature. And so I'm just pumped. I'm so excited right now.
That's so great, Carly. And you said before the recession. So the last time you did one of these was when?
A quick concept, like what their design studies was. Yeah, probably like, I mean, I did a couple, I would say in like 2012, 2014 kind of time range, but I did like almost two dozen all at once in a concentrated time period before the recession. So like 2007, around there.
Wow. So how beautiful.
Yes.
Back to that, and a really beautiful and big project. And I know you've got other wins too that you've been sharing with me, and remember to shout it from the rooftops, share it in Slack. There's we've got lots of wonderful places to get on connection calls for you, Carly, for everybody when I know, Carly, for as time allows for you, right? But it's so great even just to spend a sentence sharing it, owning it, like Shavasan. It brings us energy. It makes us notice what's actually happening. And that's a life better lived and a day better lived and a moment better lived, right? So your face is just glowing, Carly, as you're saying this. This is beautiful. Like some people afterwards are only seeing me when I'm talking, right? So I'm just like,
It's my favorite building type. So I'm already like working on it in my head.
So good. Thank you. I'd love to hear a couple wins. And again, because we have the opportunity to do this, I'd love to hear from you, Diane, and from you, Maria. And for those listening afterwards in the recording, Jonathan, Anna Maria, shout out to you guys. I know you let me know you'd be listening afterwards. Pause and share your wins and go and share them in Slack. You can do it in real time as you're listening to the recording. So Diane, Maria, I'd love to hear from both of you.
Sure. I have a big one too. A young woman in Saskatchewan, so the next province over, and her horse were referred to me, so I've been doing distance Reiki with the two of them for the last
Wow, so beautiful. Not just her, but her horse.
And her horse too, yeah.
Oh my goodness, I love it. I can see it already. Like all these images came up in my mind, and the centeredness and the calmness and the ease and the connection between them. And wow, congratulations. So, so, so happy for you. Thank you for sharing that. And again, go and share in Slack, be on connection calls, shout it from the rooftops to the dream enablers. Don't tell the dream stealers. And this is a room of dream enablers, like shout it out here and shout it out in other communities that you're into, but only the dream enablers, right? Fantastic. Thank you, Marie.
Right now I'm doing a marketing campaign, and I have a lot of people signing up for my free Facebook Live series I'll be doing later in October. And in order to do that, people have to join Marie's Writing Oasis, which is my private Facebook group, and the membership there is up to 177 members with more joining in. So
yay!
Yeah, and then part of that is I also did a website revision this past year, and more people are going to the website because of this promotion, and so people are downloading my free gifts, and I've got folks that are signing up for a free discovery session who aren't necessarily signing up for the Four Foundations. So there's a lot more activity going on that I think is all connected to some of the choices I made earlier in the year. So, yeah.
Yay! Marie, so beautiful. I love all of the wins in this room. You know, when we're here together, it's a moving sidewalk. Like things just happen. Things just happen. It's so, so good. So thank you for sharing. I love it. And I'm glad that also it's really exciting that it just so happened we ended with your wins, Marie, because this is a perfect leaping off point for what we're talking about today, which is getting out there. And we get out there in all kinds of ways. But what I wanted to focus on today is as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is a kind of sneak preview for some of you about stage three. And for some of you, stage three work is in full force. And I want to share with you things that, man, I wish that I'd understood these. When I left university, teaching university in 2007, it took me a long time before I really understood, oh, this is how the pieces fit together. So I wish somebody had given me what I want to share with you today. And we've done some work in other forms before. We had the Love Your Life structure, Love Your Life, Love Your Business, a marketing, a story, that kind of thing. We've done different workshops before, but I've never presented this material in this way before. And so I hope and trust that it will serve you. And if you list, like when you are present, and I know you are, and you're listening, that this material could shave off 3 months, 6 months, a year. Sometimes we can go off into the bushes for a couple of years. Some entrepreneurs go there forever, and it can save us from that and have us making really strategic choices when you hear the things that, you know, that are here on my page that we want to embody and actually make real today in our call today. So that's why I was like jumping out of my seat today. We've not done this in this way ever before. So, let me see. Just before that, I want to get to a couple of announcements and some. Let me see. Do we want to go there? Just one announcement. And this, I was just talking to a couple of team members this morning, and realized, oh my goodness, we have a deadline coming up for you guys, October 21st. So if you are planning to come to Story Freedom, and this is a bonus for all of you, it's not a part of the program, but of course we want you there, right? Yeah, it's both not officially part of the program, but also absolutely we want you there. The deadline is October 21st if you want to come as a VIP. And I strongly suggest you come as a VIP. We've created access to recordings, priority access to the laser coaching sessions. And also for the very first time, we have our Story Freedom. It's a beautiful, beautiful box that we've created. We've taken weeks and weeks, months now to create this for our participants. And so we have a special link for you. And let me put it, I think I can cut, me multitasking with cutting and pasting is kind of funny, but let me go. I think I can do this. Hang on. Because Marie, I don't think I put this in front of you. So give me a second here. Da-da-da, where is my link? There it is. And then I'm going to click on it to make sure that I've given you the right link, right? So here it is. It is storyfreedomlive.com/... special VIP. And so I'll show you what it looks like. I do want to share my page just so that we're all on the same page, literally. So it looks like this. You can all see my page. Yeah. Okay, good. So, and you see at the top, it has this banner, welcome special friends and colleagues. So do not go to just storyfreedomlive.com, because that's where right now we're selling the VIP seats for, I think it's $500. $497 US. So don't go to that one. Go to this one. It says reserve my special VIP space, right? And so this is the link for you. This is also the link for you can bring one friend, because this is a real, you know, hard cost. We're sending out these boxes that have lovingly been created that are going to have surprises all throughout the event that you're going to get to open and just experience the event in a different way than ever before. So you can invite one friend through this special link. And when you click on reserve my VIP ticket, hopefully this is what happens. Let me see. Yes. So there is a $97 it's like a no-show deposit. All right. So we're asking for that deposit from you guys this time. We've usually only done that for, we used to do that all the time for live events, but not virtual events. The reason we're doing that for the virtual events is that the box is designed to go with the event itself. It's not really meaningful without the event. And so if you know that you are getting married that weekend, you know, and also it is your father's 95th or 100th birthday or your grandfather's, and everybody, you know, 400 people are gathered. And those are the kinds of reasons to not come, you know, right? Other than that, come, right? But if you're not going to be there, we don't want that physical resource to go to no reason. And so with that $97 no-show deposit, we know that you're coming, and you get it back when you come to the event, all right? So that's an integrity, actually being there, participating at the event. Then we send that back to you after the event. Does that make sense? So there's a deposit, you get it back, and the box alone is worth $150. So, but that way we can also have an accurate headcount. We know who's actually coming. And Carly, I think we were talking about this. We were texting about this the other day. It's like, oh, who am I going to bring? Let's see who do I want to bring for that one special ticket? You can invite other friends through the regular link. The VIP is going for $500 right now. The general tickets, I think that we've got them at $300. And if you have other friends to come, you know, you can talk to us about it. But we know that there's one person in your life that you know should have access to this. And so that's our, I mean, again, there's hard costs associated with that. That's our gift to you, to them, for being on this partnership and on this journey together. Does that make sense? So that's a link for you, and a link to share with one special guest, somebody that you know could really benefit from this work and that you would love to have on the journey with you. No questions about that? Clear? All right, fantastic. Let me see anything else. Oh yeah, and the deadline of October 21st, that's so that we can ship the box to you so that it arrives before Story Freedom. We need that advanced time, right? So please make sure you do so before October, on or before October 21st. All right, that's it for announcements. Getting it out there. Oh, actually, Yvonne, it's really funny. I just said, that's it for announcements. Hi, Yvonne. Getting it out there. So what today is all about. Again, we're between the Influencer Story Challenge and Story Freedom. And this is a great time to be thinking about how do we get things out there in a bigger way, because we're doing some of the activities right now in our company that allow us to leverage and scale. And so it's a great time to be talking about those activities and how they work to you. Again, sneak preview of stage three. And by the way, I would love to hear if anybody has something that they want to share about Influencer Story, either they've been there before or they've got something that they want to share from this influencer story. There were so many ahas, so many breakthroughs. It was just, you know, we've done it four times. I know that it was our very best ever. It was a lot of fun. Anything anybody wants to share about influencer story and aha? Yeah, Marie, thank you.
Well, one of the things I was struck with was the level of engagement among everybody that was there in the sessions, that the commenting and the support and the responding to me was like nothing I've ever seen on one of your Facebook Lives before.
Isn't that great? It was so, so exciting. People engaged, people responding. We are getting so many messages too. You know, this is life changing. This changes everything for me. And, you know, you want to give your best right from the outset, right? But then you have structures that allow for your company to grow. It's not kind of endless coffee clutches or whatever. And stage three is all about leveraging and scaling. And, you know, we eat our own cooking. We want to share with you the things that we're doing. So thank you for that, Marie. Beautiful. Anything else wanting to be shared about Influencer Story? Just a moment on that. Anything else? And I want to add to that too, Marie, like this. So it's our fourth time doing it. And the very first time, I remember some of the comments right at the end going like this, people who were saying, this is the best community I've ever been in. And this is just like typing on a screen. You know, I was just so excited. And then for you to say that, Marie, about this time around, because every time we're learning, we're growing, it's going deeper, more engagement, and even more lives, you know, more lives change more deeply. And just amazing, amazing souls there. So super, super fun. Thank you, Marie. Love it. All right. So stage three, preview, roadmap for growth. All right. So there are nine things, I think it is. Was it eight or nine things? Eight things. Eight things I want to teach you. A kind of sneak preview about stage three, or the leaping off point for stage three for some, or some we've already been doing some stage three activities. And how do we think about stage three, the stage three version of getting it out there? So stage one, quick review, it's Quantum Leap's Creature Future Story. It's about the vision. If we don't know where we're going, how are we ever going to get there? And, you know, so we've given you some great resources and detailed resources, trainings and handouts and all kinds of things to create that vision. And if you miss the Q&A call Tuesday, oh my goodness, great deep dive into Anna Maria's vision. Many of you saw the work that we did with her vision at the vision retreat. And then she's next leveled it. And we dove in with what's the next level of the next level on Tuesday. So if you want more on stage one, that the Q&A call Tuesday was amazing. So that's Tuesday. If you guys are listening later, Tuesday, October 11th, we did that call. So stage one, vision. Stage two, step into your big self with sales and offers. I've got this vision, but I'm just going to sit on it for 3 years and then the vision doesn't feel good. You know, vision is designed to go hand in hand with stage two, which is action. And many people take, I did when I first left university in 2007, I took all the wrong actions first. I really appreciate my mentors. I'm really glad that for every piece that I did, but I wish that there was somebody there telling me what to do and in what order and how to make it so much easier. And that's what I want for you. So in stage two, we go straight. You already have such gifts. You know the vision of how you want to serve. Now you go out there and have conversations with people and serve them. And we're hearing from each of you with your wins about the ways that you're serving people now. It's really, really cool, right? So stage two, and we bump into ourselves when we do that. We bump into ourselves when we're creating the vision, and we bump into ourselves when we're out there in the corporate vision. I can't dream that big. I used to dream big, but then something happened to all those editors. And that's part of the journey. That's okay. How do I feel when I get out of bed? Do I love the thing that I'm doing and so on, right? So we bump into it, we move through it, and that's how we grow into that big self. And then we bump into it, stage two, on the court. Yeah, but I can't talk to that person. Yeah, but, you know, do I know enough? Yeah, but. And then we just walk our feet over to that person, or we pick up the phone, or we send that note, Facebook note, stay in close, like, you know, diving in, a person with two eyes and nose and a mouth, real people. And we go, and we make the offer, $5,000 and up. For some of you, that's $5,000. For some of you, it's like, no, it's 10 times or, you know, 50 times that much or whatever it is. But it's $5,000 and up because what you do has such deep value. And you're meant to be working with people who can hear it and whose lives are transformed by that thing you do. So there's a whirlwind tour reminder, because we haven't talked about those all together in quite some time, where we are in stage one, where we are in stage two, why that's the journey, why those are the foundations and why they go in that order. And it's not, I complete stage one for 3 years and then I move on to stage two. I'm working them simultaneously with stage one and stage two. I don't wait till my vision is perfected for 5 years. I get it done. Good enough. And then when I'm out there on the court, Mary Kay was talking about this very eloquently on Monday or Tuesday in the Q&A call. The things that I'm learning out there in the court get fed back into the vision, and my vision grows from what I'm experiencing out there on the court, and vice versa. You know, the vision grows by what I'm doing. What I'm doing grows the vision. Clear in stage one and stage two, that kind of review of where we are in those stages. So then, as we are doing that with stage one and stage two, this is how it goes. Then you start working with more and more people. More and more people come to you. You're having conversations. Some of those people are stepping in, not all of them. We let it go about the no's because that's our route to the yeses, right? And then your calendar starts to fill up. And when we are thinking non-strategically about our companies, we just add more and more and more people. And then a lot of people, that's how their business, how they end up not loving their businesses. It's like, well, I'm meeting with whatever the number is for you, 40 clients a week or 10 clients a week, or even maybe it's one, even depending on the kind of work that you do, right? Or 50 every day, whatever it is. I'm like, I'm maxed out. I'm out of time. So that's what growth gives us. And if we continued to do all the same activities as stage two, we would max out. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. You getting that? Yeah. Hands around the room. So we want to grow, and stage two allows us to grow and grow really quickly. But then from that time, we want to scale. We want to leverage so that as we, I don't want to use the word grow now, because, you know, as we increase, as we expand our companies, we do it strategically so that every person that we're serving, every person that we add actually gives us time, makes our life easier, makes it more fun. And I know that you know this for yourself or others you've seen, that the more people they have, the harder it gets. We have that mentality, right? And I got to work hard to grow and that kind of thing. If you've seen that out there, raise your hands like, well, I'm maxed out. Or yeah, lots of hands and nods. Thank you. That's why we have stage three. So I want to tell you, you know, what it is, why it matters, how to do it, some examples, some mistakes that people make, and then I'll open it up to questions. And remember, we've got office hours tomorrow morning where we can continue the discussion, right? And we're going to take it deeper again on next week's call to help you actually see which pieces of that are appropriate for you at this stage, and what this means for you in stage one and stage two, for example, right? So we'll continue the discussion next week. And also a super treat, and it should be on our calendar, I believe it is, in 12 days, we have on the calendar a chance for you for the very first time to access Amy's brain and heart and mind and spirit. I've been wanting to bring Amy's wisdom to the campus for over 2 years. Haven't done it yet. I mean, she's behind the scenes, but this woman is a powerhouse of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I know you know the magic of Maria, the magic of Yvonne, but Amy is just like a powerhouse. And so she's going to be teaching you some of the behind the scenes pieces of how that works to scale and leverage in our companies, right? So lots of great, great stuff coming up for you this month. So any questions so far? That's my umbrella 8,000 foot view about what today and this month really is about for you. Any questions about that? Was that clear? In the what and the why? Okay, good. All right. So, and most dangerous words in the English language, foremost, you know, I already know that. Some pieces of this you may have heard before, but if we're not actually doing it, if we're not actually implementing it, if we haven't actually mastered it, we don't know it yet. And sometimes if we think we know it, but we haven't, there's that deeper level of it, or we actually haven't heard it before. We've heard the words, but we actually still don't know the deep level of what it means. Yvonne, I think of you often in this. It's like, well, it was like the fourth time that I did the high ticket virtual retreat in a different arena, right? About sales. Like, oh, that's what you're saying, right? So be open to listening, because this, again, I wish that somebody had told me this in 2007. It would have saved me years, tens of thousands of dollars. I like what we're doing just today and this month. And he wanted a chat slow learner. Okay. There's an editor, and I know you're being playful about it, you know, but yeah, just being playful about it. Sometimes we think that, but it's actually that level of it. Oh, that's what that means, right? Thanks, Yvonne. All right. So eight things to teach you about this. The very first thing, in our companies, always, we want to do the right things at the right time in the right order. That's why we've created the stages. And Carly, of all people, knows the most deeply how much we wanted this for you. Was it 3 years ago, Carly? We were working on building this at least 3 years ago, right? And so, that's why it took such love and attention to figure out, well, what exactly are the stages? How can we explain this to you in ways that you get it? And we want to do, so that's why we've got the stages for you. It's like that thing, and then that thing, and then that thing. And in every area of your company, you always want to be doing the right things at the right time in the right order. And if we miss any of those, we can be doing the right things in the right order, but not at the right time. We miss everything. We miss any one of these. We miss it, and we can waste months or years, or actually never even get there if we miss the right thing in the right time in the right order. Let me give you examples of where many, many, many entrepreneurs fall on this. And it's not that there isn't a different way to do it. You can go find an exception out there. It's like, look, that person did it that way. But I want to show you the easy way to do things. It's not that, like, you can, I don't know, you can bake bread starting by buying an acre of land and planting the wheat, you know, right? It's not that it can't happen. Or if you really want to bake bread, you could get the buy the flour, have somebody make it for you. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you could get that way, but why not do it the easy way? So yes, you could find exceptions to this, but like, let me save you some time and energy and effort. Right things at the right time in the right order. Many, many entrepreneurs make this mistake. They start with the marketing. I did. That's what people told me to do in 2007. They start with the marketing and then they go to sales. I built my website. I created the logo because that's what my teachers, and bless them, they were teaching me the best they knew how to do. I would love to go back, and I don't know what they're doing right now, but I'd love to go back and go, listen, I want to save you some time and effort, right? So all that effort in marketing first and then sales, it's backwards. And most, I would say even most entrepreneurs make that mistake. The vast majority even. Sales, deep nods from Yvonne. I know you get it. Sales first, then marketing. The right things at the right time in the right order. There's one example. Second, because we market, hey, everybody, here's my website. Here's what I do, but I haven't talked to one person yet. And no one person is saying yes. How am I going to reach all those people if I can't talk to one person yet in a sales conversation? And a great example of this, marketing, one of my mentors, her dear friend was on, it's one of the big, big networks. I can't remember who interviewed her. It was like an Oprah-like person in an audience of 1 million people, and her business grew zero because of it. Great marketing effort, zero clients. Is such a thing. I see you, Diane, going like, oh, it's a great example. Like, don't do, right? So sale first, then marketing. Another example of this. And if you've been around at all, you know that this is me and what I deeply, deeply teach, right? High ticket, then low ticket. Most entrepreneurs make this mistake as well. I'm a beginner. I'm just starting. I'm not sure of myself. I'm not in my big self. I'm going to sell a widget for 97 cents. For the next 3 years, and all the headaches are in the front end, we call that the front end, and all the rewards are in the back end, working with amazing high ticket clients. And we burn out, and many companies, we know that the stats aren't great with entrepreneurs because these two mistakes alone kill many businesses, right? We burn out with the widgets. Sales first, then marketing, high ticket, then low ticket. And one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make is stepping into the marketing too soon. That's why I'm calling this a sneak preview into stage three. For some of you, this, when you know where you're headed, you may take different actions today, but you won't be doing the stage three actions yet. Some of you are already doing stage three actions, and that's appropriate. And before, we didn't have the stages as clearly delineated for you if you came before the Love Your Life community. And so you may be doing a bit of stage one, bit of stage two, bit of stage three. But if that is you, go back and complete stage one and two. Then move on to stage three. If you're already doing some stage three activities, you're out there speaking and so on, it's okay. You can continue to do those, but where your energy needs to lie is in stage one, stage two. Biggest mistake, stepping out into marketing too soon. I built my website. It took me 9 months of labor of love in 2008. I spent tens of thousands of dollars in coaching and creating the logo and so on. And the website brought me zero clients. My company was growing and it started growing quickly, but it had nothing to do with the activities that I was being told to do. It's like, saving. These are good things to do. Building a website, fantastic thing. Creating a logo, fantastic thing. But right things at the right time in the right order. For a business, even a book, create a book out of the love of it because you want to write a book. For a business, in terms of a business perspective, if you're creating it for your business, make sure you have the audience first and then create the book. If the book is for the purpose of your business, a book from a pure business perspective is an amazing business card. It's an amazing, amazing way to meet people. But in terms of putting things, the right things at the right time in the right order. If it's for business, it goes in a different part of the sequence. So a lot of people, they create their website, then they write their book, then they do Facebook ads, and then they and the business doesn't grow at all because there's no back end, there's no sales, right? There's nothing to for it to go to. So, and you know, again, Facebook ads, a great example. People can spend $10,000 a month easily on Facebook ads, but if we can't talk to one person yet, all and we used to teach this in the context of practical applications, for instance, different ways that we used to teach this, but all of that is just wasted effort. And the example I want to give you that I don't think I've given before, I heard this example in a different context, but I want to give you this about really getting right things at right time in right order. And I can't say it enough because people say, yeah, I got it. And now I'm just going to go do this challenge, but I don't have a client yet. No, you didn't hear it. Right? Please don't do that. Right? So the fax machine, did you know the fax machine was invented in 1843? It did not bring that person anything, you know, that, as far as I know, right? It's the right thing, but it wasn't at the right time. It wasn't at the right time. It wasn't until more than a century later, it really hit its heyday. What, in the 1980s about, was it? You know, when fax machines started really, the early 80s. That's when people really started using it, like 140 years later. Right, it was a really great idea, but what's the right time for it? I wanted to give you something that would stick. It's like, am I accidentally building a fax machine? Don't do it, you know? So, right, number one, right things, right time, right order. Number two, I mentioned it, but first, let me see. No, stop me anytime if there's questions or clarifications. I just want to do some straight out training so that you have these eight things. And then we got our Q&A calls. We've got more time to expand and go deeper for you next week, right? So just stop me, raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going. Still with me? All right. Number two, I mentioned it, but I really wanted to dive into the difference between growth and scaling and leveraging. I didn't really understand this for a long time in my company. We think of growing a company, you keep doing more of the same and adding numbers. Just like I said, well, now I'm gonna have 10 clients a day, now 20 clients, now 30 clients, and I burn out. So you hit a ceiling. You do wanna grow, but then there's a right time to scale and leverage. So what does it even mean to scale a company, to leverage? What does that actually mean? Scaling a business means that you are setting it up to, it's tricky using the words, to expand your company. I want to use a different word than growth. Expand your company without being hampered, without hitting a ceiling. And it requires planning. It requires the right systems. It requires people. And all that comes, you know, at the right time. Sometimes people, it's like, wow, I just started my company and I hired 5 people for my team. What are you offering? Oh, I don't know yet. No, wrong time to scale and leverage. And the leverage is, you know, the ability to, you know, influence a system. Here's one definition that I found on the web that I actually like. Leverage is the ability to influence a system or environment in a way that multiplies your efforts. So you take actions, but in the right channel, so that in the right way, so that it multiplies your efforts. So when I first started, I built my website. I was doing the behind the scenes code in the website, you know. All kinds of stuff that I had no business doing. And so one way to multiply my time is to, you know, take money, give it to somebody else, have them doing that stuff. And now there's more of my time available, right? So that is a way that we can leverage the energy of other people to work cooperatively toward the aim of your company, right? So we want to scale. We don't want to just keep doing the same things. We want to, and the ways to scale and leverage the biggest way I think about it is we change from one-to-one to one-to-many. I'm doing one-to-one coaching, for instance, and maybe I could do it with one person a day. Maybe I could do it with two. Maybe I could do it with 10. At some place, there's a ceiling. I can't, you know, do one-to-one coaching with 100 people in a day. I am just one person for each one of us, right? Somewhere there's a ceiling. So I move to one-to-many, for instance. Now, instead of trying to individually coach 100 people in a day, I coach 100 of them at once. So now I'm leveraging my time and it's like there's more of me. I'm making a strategic decision, right? So it's one-to-many. And is leveraging the energy of other people to work cooperatively toward an aim, right? So it's one to many, or it's growing your team. These are good ways of thinking about leverage. This is the realm of stage three. If that's making sense, raise your hand. I just want to make this so straightforward and simple because we make mistakes about it without meaning to. So I want it to be like absolutely really, really, really clear. So, I want to give you some examples of leveraging your time one-to-many. For instance, I can talk to one single person and make them an offer. That's a great thing to do, and that's a huge, that's at the heart of stage two activity. I can speak from stage. Now I'm speaking one-to-many and make an offer. Now I've leveraged my time. It's a leveraged activity. I can do a strategy session, one person, or I can hold an event and make an offer to many. I can coach one person or I can coach many. So that's leveraged delivery, right? I'd love for you to talk to me about examples of leveraged activities that you can do that transforms anybody's work from one-to-one to one-to-many. Can you give me some examples of ways that we could do that or ways that you could leverage teams so that we understand the difference between just flat out growth that hits the ceiling and leveraging and scaling? So give me some examples of maybe things you've already done or things you've seen people do that would be over there in the realm of stage three, leveraging and scaling. Yeah, Diane, thanks.
Go from one-to-one. But then I've seen people do like workshops.
Yes.
People in and having each guest bring a person at half price or whatever. And then they're able to make their offer to a whole group instead of just one.
Yes. So workshops are a great example. Then I'm leveraging, right? And it's no longer a one-to-one. Thank you. Great example. What else? And sometimes we go, oh, but my field, we can't do that. Every field has it. Every single field. Carly, I'm so glad your hand went up with this, right?
Yeah, I really struggle with this one to see how it could apply with what I do.
Yeah. So here, let me give one example because you're already doing it, but you're not, you haven't put the language to it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know you're doing it, but then you can start to separate out what's stage two work and what's stage three work. Right, because you're doing stage one and stage two, and you're one of those people doing like work at all those three levels, right? So you can give a presentation to a client one-on-one. Hey, come work with me. You can go and speak to a group of people in your wherever your people are. And now it's one to many because now it's like, oh, Carly. And now you have them coming to you going, Carly. And then it might go to that one, you know, one-on-one, right? But the shift in the strategy, the shift in thinking is like, okay, I got to go talk to this person. I got to go talk to this person. It's the right thing at the right time, at the right order. And sometimes it's not going to be that. Sometimes you might want to be talking to a group, like I say, where is it that your people hang out where they could meet you one on many? And when you're the speaker, there's automatic authority that comes from being that person at the center. There's also another example of that could be if you're talking to, let's say there's a particular company that's going to invest in themselves and their growth through you, right? And maybe there's a bunch of stakeholders a bunch of people who are going to be involved in making the decision. So now you go and talk to, and again, whatever the company is, you know, you talk to the VP, and now you talk to the president, and now you talk to the contractor, now you talk to, and so, and sometimes that might be strategic. It may be more strategic. It's not that we're always doing stage three work. That's stage two. And you might want to do that. It's different conversations with the contractor versus with the president and so on. But at another time, you might have them all gathered in a meeting. It's a higher level skill, and say, I wanted to bring us all together because here's the, and you have powerful envisioning, right? Here's the vision of what you're doing. And Joe, I love your piece of it over there. And Sue, when you're doing this part, and here's how the color works in it. Like, so, and again, you know your field, but is this resonating at all, Carly? So you can see the difference between leveraged and not leveraged.
Yeah, it's almost every project I do that actually with groups of people. So I guess, yeah.
Well, you're already doing it. You just never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
And the power of knowing what you're actually doing, then you get to be in the driver's seat. Like, you get to ask that question, is this something that is better one-to-one or one-to-many? And then there's also team. Team is a huge piece of this leveraging and scaling. So you could be, in my fictional example, but there's something like this. You're talking to the contractor, you're talking to the president, you're talking to all these people one at a time, and it's taking you a week. And then maybe for the right person in the right instance, and as you grow, right, that you're talking to all of them at once. And now somebody else who's being their version of the work that you have done, but now they're in that place and they're talking to that group. Can you see these are all different levels of the first version? It might've taken you a month or a week. The next version, you're talking to them all at once. And the next version, somebody else is doing that work for you. Making sense? It's happening all the time, but I want to open your eyes so you can see it and make conscious choices. Yeah, not huge nods. Like, oh, it doesn't happen. I don't know how to do that. Oh, it's already happening. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. And here's the thing. This goes back to number one, right thing at the right time in the right order. So we get ahead of ourselves. So let's say Carly, as an architect, goes, wow, I want to scale. And we don't have that language of scale and grow yet. I want to just massively expand my company. So it's my first day. It's not you, Carly, but it's my first day as an architect. I'm going to hire 10 people. I'm going to see if I can get on Oprah. I'm going, I don't know what to say, and I don't have anything built behind it. I'm also going to send out random Facebook ads, and I'm going to send my untrained team out to speak to this high level client. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but people do a version of that all the time in every industry. So that's bigger. It must be better, right? That's why we have stage one, stage two, stage three. You can see in my ridiculous example, because Carly's face is like, how horrendous that would be. And all the growth that she would have lost in doing that, all the expenditure in hiring a team of 10 all of a sudden, and they don't even know what they're doing. In all of the, you know, let's say she gets this great contact with this high level client, and she's got this untrained assistant who has never heard of architecture before. It's like, hey, go talk to them and this other person at the same time. And it sounds so ridiculous, but people are doing that all over the place. Yeah, and big nods from Carly, right? So when we understand that difference between stage two and stage three, we can make strategic choices about what's the right thing at the right time in the right order. Making sense? I see the light bulbs. Yay. All right. And so let me see. So what it is and what, hopefully we got, you know, what it is and why it matters and why it matters to understand this. Do we get this? This is why I say, like, not understanding this can actually kill a company or can stall it for years. If Carly kept trying to do that, and people do that all the time in various ways, she could create a company for 50 years and it's never even going to get there because she's trying to grow quickly, but it's not how it works. Right? So what it is, why it matters. And I want to add a little piece of when I've already, this is, so wait, what it is, no, first the right thing at the right time in the right order, and then the definitions, what it is. The third thing was why it matters, and for number three I also want to add a bit of when you do this. So what, why, and when for number three. Make this still with me. So when you do this, when you're already working with high ticket clients, when you're already working with them, people with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Otherwise, it's like Carly wasted effort, you know? Carly, the fictional Carly. Carly would never do that, right? But people do it all kinds of ways. We don't even notice we're doing it. When you start to get busy with your clients, right? So it was ridiculous when I was doing it, but I didn't know it, right? I was doing the back of the code in the back of my website. I was cleaning my own house. I was doing all these activities. For instance, like cleaning your own house, depending on your area, somebody will clean your house for maybe $20 an hour. Some areas it might be 10, maybe it's 30, maybe it's 50, whatever it is. Okay. One of my teachers years ago said, if you can, and this was in years ago dollars, if you can outsource it for less than $100 an hour, that's what you should do. And I was like, ooh, you know, now write things that I want to add, write things at the right time in the right order. But one example, if you are cleaning your house, you are saying that my time is worth $20 an hour. And then you're offering high ticket and there's a mismatch, right? So when you start to get busy with your clients, one of the things you want to have done it sooner than that, hire somebody and especially men too, but women especially fall into this, but men too, right? Have somebody, you know, a traditional, you know, our traditional structures from the last century or two, there was a very traditional archetypal, you know, in our culture, there's a man out there doing the working and then there's a woman doing all that stuff behind the scenes. And then we think as human beings, male or female or however gendered, right? Whatever our gender identification, we think that we can do it all ourselves. Having somebody else do that. So as you're when to do it, when you're already working with high ticket clients, when you start to get busy with your clients, when you have a proven system and it's time to expand your company in a smart and strategic way so that each client makes it easier for you. And so this, I haven't told you pinpoint exactly when it's time for you to do exactly this, but that is the nuanced work of stage three. As we do the stage three work together for your company, when is the time to do what, and what is the what to do strategically so that you grow with ease, the opposite of my fictional Carly that Carly was going like, ah! Right? Make sense? All right. So that's right thing at the right time, the right order, what it even means, why you want to do it. And that's number three, and something of what the indicators are, at least from an 8,000 foot view. I haven't said, Diane, you should do X at Y time, right? And we haven't had that discussion, but the 8,000 foot view of in general, when we do it in a company, right? And then number four is, well, what are the best places to leverage and scale? You know, some examples. We already went into this a little bit. And that's why I wanted to do this with you guys right now, because in this company, in Story Freedom Company, we're doing that right now. The challenge is the Influencer Story Challenge is a one-to-many. Story Freedom is a one-to-many. These are stage three and four. Stage four and five build on stage three, right? These are stage three and beyond activities. So challenge, speaking, whether it's live or webinar, an email campaign. Instead of having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, I'm emailing to my list. Having a list and growing it itself, that's a one-to-many activity over there in stage three, right? Workshop, Diane mentioned that. Anywhere where it's group delivery, right? This is a leveraged activity right now. This is group delivery, right? And group sales. And you can do this. You can start to, here's where I said, you know, sneak preview in stage three. But if you're doing and ought to be doing work in stage two, we don't want to dive into stage three and spend $10,000 on Facebook ads when we're working on stage two. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, let me save you that time and money. So, but you can start to bring in pieces of it strategically when we understand how it works when you're doing stage two work. Let me give you an example. You have your first high ticket client. Yay! You're a $5,000 client, for instance, right? Now you have your second high ticket client. Yay! You have two $5,000 clients, or for some, it might be $100,000 or whatever it is, $5,000 and up. With these two high ticket clients, you can already start to learn to leverage. you're doing individual coaching with them. When Marie and I started working together, that's exactly what I was doing in 2010, right? I was doing a lot of individual coaching, and then I started bringing those. And actually, Marie is the only one here who would remember that this community, before it was called Love Your Life, Love Your Business, it was called, everyone here live remembers it used to be called Love Your Words, Love Your Life. But Marie is probably the only one who was around, because the group used to be called, Marie, you just unmuted, do you remember?
Love Your Words.
It used to be called Love Your Words. And even before that, do you remember, Marie?
It was something to do with writing and yoga.
Yeah, and even it's funny, it's like not even memorable, right?
This is 10 years ago. I can't call it up from
exactly
the
book. But you'll remember as soon as I say it. We used to call the community
The Language of Yoga.
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, my company used to be called that, right? So yes, but even more than that, you know, for 10 points, Marie. That Marie, you'll remember when I say it. Yeah. We didn't have a name for it. And the people that I was working with, we just said the coaching students. Do you remember that now, Marie?
No, actually, I might have been after.
That was a long time.
I was after that.
Were you after the coaching students? Because that harkens back to individual coaching, right?
Yeah.
And then you can start to bring together. Once you've got two people, you serve and serve and serve them, but you can bring them together for one afternoon workshop. And then the third person who comes in, they don't have that private work anymore. They have the workshop instead that's already existent and already running. So do you see that in stage two, you can start to strategically bring in some ideas from stage three when we understand, thanks, Marie, got your note. When we understand what those activities are and when to do them. Is that making sense? Just nod if it's making sense. I can start to bring in it in little bitty pieces so that I understand it, and I'll be more ready for stage three when I start to do that. And then I can avoid, for instance, a lot of coaches or homeopaths or different kinds of practitioners, feng shui specialists, the Reiki specialists, right? A lot of them end up maxing out first. Oh my goodness, I'm exhausted. Now what do I do? And I don't even have time to think about what I can do. But if we start bringing in strategically some of the ideas from stage three, not a full-blown stage three, not at all, but I start leveraging in this way, just bring a couple people together. We don't hit that ceiling first, max out, and then try to leverage. Does that make sense? Not if it makes sense. This is like, oh my goodness, keys to the kingdom. And then not does this apply, how does this apply in my area? Because for instance, I am, I go, but it's Reiki. I have to do it with the person in front of me. No, you're doing a distance with a horse right now, right? So thinking outside the box, everyone's area. And, and what is that high ticket mentioning horses too? I love that with Anna Maria in our community. It's like, well, what would be high ticket? Oh, Anna Maria, who works with horses, can simply sell $100,000 horse if she wants to. Like thinking outside the box of what it could mean in my area, right? And so we brainstorm ideas about where we could leverage and scale, right? So growing the team, growing from one-to-one to one-to-many, those kinds of activities. And then we make a strategic decision. Sometimes I'm going to go one-to-many first, and I'm going to be working on that. And then I'm going to hire somebody. And then I hire somebody else. And then I do another thing that's one-to-many, right? And then maybe my team used to do one-to-one, and they do one-to-many. These ideas can be combined. Make sense? And so that's number four. Look, you create a... ideas of places where I can leverage and scale. And then number five, the fifth thing I want to teach you today is once I've done that, so I've got this pool of things that I could do. And it's particular to you. So to use the example of Anna Maria, let's say she went a different route, but let's say she went the route of selling a horse, right? I'm going to sell a $100,000 horse, and that's my package. That's the thing I'm offering. That's my high ticket thing. Well, when she's growing and scaling, she could sell this one horse in a deep dive strategy session conversation with this one person. Or, and this happens, it may not happen in Anna Maria's industry, but she could be the first to bring it to that industry. Or maybe it does. She knows her industry. I don't, right? This piece of it. But I remember when I was at my uncle's farm goodness, probably 20 years ago. And they, my aunt and uncle, they are Alberta Beef Central. If you know about Alberta, you know Alberta Beef, and that's my aunt and uncle. So they would host the Alberta Beef auction every year with hundreds, I think it was hundreds of people there. I remember going there, it was like a whole different world than mine. I'm like, whoa. And they auctioned off expensive cattle, one to many. There was an auctioneer going, blah, 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 you know, and they told me, don't scratch your nose, don't raise your hand, you'll have bought a cow. You know, I sat there with my hands underneath my legs, like, don't move, right? It was a one to many about selling an animal. And Anna Maria might go, oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. But you can brainstorm, you can strategically think. And she might go, that would be awful. Like Carly, the version of Carly that Carly would never do, sending my untrained assistant to talk to that high level client. We might go, here's a leveraged move. Here's a move that's, you know, scales my company. I'm not going to do it. It's a bad idea. Or here's one that actually works, right? So we look for the number five is we'll look for the low hanging fruit. Where is the most strategic way to leverage? And for instance, I've got two clients. I put them together for one workshop. That's a really strategic thing to do. I've got two clients. I go do Facebook ads. That's not a strategic thing to do, right? So look for the low hanging fruit. And so what it's not, and again, I'm giving you lots of examples of what it's not, because I'm trying to help you avoid the mistakes that are really costly and that make things hard. So it's not, the low hanging fruit is not, well, I haven't done any high ticket sales, but I'll create a challenge. I haven't done any high ticket sales, but I'll do Facebook ads. I haven't done any high ticket sales, but I'm going to, you know, hire five people in various areas. All of these things I've seen people do. And so much more. And I know Yvonne, deep nods, is right. Sometimes students who've tried to do that, and I'm like, please don't. Let me save you a year, you know, or two. And not, I'll invest in videos, for example. So we, even the things that we invest in, I'll invest in creating videos, but I don't really know who I'm working with or what the end goal is. Can you see it? I'm trying to take this leveraged activity, but I haven't done the stage one and the stage two work yet. And then that's where I used to be sometimes a student on other people's campuses. And they would be doing those kinds of activities and without anybody there to say, don't do that. And they get really excited and they'd come back the next month and they'd go, oh man, it totally failed. And it was completely foreseeable. Right things in the right time in the right order, right? So look for the low hanging fruit. What's right in front of you that you could do that would be strategic for your company in that moment when it's time to leverage and scale. If I'm making sense, just nod. So I know you're still following me. Yay. Oh my goodness. I wish somebody had told me this. Nobody laid it out like this for me. That, you know, I got bits and pieces of it here and there. And this is crucial. This is why so many companies fail. And it doesn't have to be anybody here at all. We can make it, they take it the easy way, right? And not just not fail, but really excel and let it be fun along the route, right? So look for the low hanging fruit. Number five, number six. And this is what stage four is all about. Stage three, we lay it out. Stage four, we go do it and iterate. We do it and we do it and we do it. And that's where I wanted to talk to you about this right now, because we just did our fourth Facebook challenge. And I thought about doing a Facebook challenge for Yvonne, probably, you know, I don't know, 2-3 years before I actually did it, at least, right? So it's like 3 years in the making. And then it was speaking with my team and speaking with strategic partners. And it's like, now is the time to do it. So measure twice, cut once, and make a decision. People launch into something like a challenge or, you know, different things that they do that are not necessarily strategic at that time, or I'm going to run a summit or whatever it is, right? Or I'm going to do a podcast, or I'm going to do a series. I just invested in somebody who's going to create my funnel. I'm going to do these videos. I'm going to grow my Instagram following to like 10,000 followers. I've seen every one of these and so many more done, and it doesn't have to be that way. So the Facebook challenge is a great example that we just did. It was our fourth time around, and building things that are leveraged, scaling and leverage, it requires resources, right? The Facebook challenge, we offer it for free, but it's not free to run. So that means we need to have the back end in order to be able to do those leveraged activities that allow for scaling, not just growth. Let me say that again, because that's so important. Those scaling and leveraged activities require investment. And so we want to do them at the right time, the right thing, in the right order. And we want to build the back end, again, the foundationalness of stage one and stage two, so that we have the resources to build what we're building for the leverage and growth in stage three. Does that make sense? I don't want this to scare you. I want this to empower you. So I hope you're empowered by this. It's like, thank goodness I know about stage one and stage two. Thank goodness I know that I'm doing that. Thank goodness I'm not going to do what again, I've seen so many times in the industry. I'm not going to go spend $20,000 on Facebook ads. I'm going to do the right things in the right time, in the right order. All right. So do it. Number six is do it and then iterate. And in the iteration, let me see. Can I tell you a fun piece of behind the scenes at Story Freedom? The Facebook challenge. And again, not does this apply? How does this apply? It applies in some way in your field. And this is what we're doing in this company. And Yvonne knows about this. And I just think it's hilarious. So, you know, you always want to come from generosity. You come from giving, but you do it in a strategic way so that your company grows, so you don't burn out. You serve from the saucer, not the cup, right? So we had this idea that we're not going to do again because we are iterating as well. I thought, why don't we just give people who come to the Facebook challenge, if they go VIP, we'll just give them Story Freedom. We'll just give it to them, you know, with a VIP ticket. So we tried that, and you want to fail quickly. I just think it's hilarious. So we gave them that, and nobody was taking VIP. And then we realized it's because we had some what we call cold traffic, because people didn't know, like, and trust yet. They don't know us very well yet. Right? So we offered the entire Story Freedom for a crazy deal, and people weren't saying yes. So I talked to the team, we intervened partway through, you adjust as you're going. So we took out anybody who came after that, because they said, it's only this once. If you don't get it right now, it's gone. And it was, we kept our word. So for a chunk of the people early on, that's what had been offered. And those who invested later or who came to us later in the launch, that wasn't even on offer. And we pulled out Story Freedom and we put in one-hour call with me during the challenge. And then huge numbers started investing in the VIP. We took out 3 days, we put in 1 hour. So that's why we do it and we iterate. We don't just say, I'm going to try this. Now I'm going to try that. Now I'm going to try that. Because we could have said, look, this VIP structure actually doesn't work, so we're just not going to use it again. But that wasn't true. We needed to move one lever, and all of a sudden, and we didn't have that many numbers yet because we thought of it. We noticed it later. I was busy with other things. But it's like, oh, wow, what is it? And why did that happen? And what do we adjust? And then the VIPs who came to us, they don't even know that other offer happened. And from now, we were never going to do that again. And now we're going to offer that 1 hour. who'd have thought? So it takes tweaking the levers. Isn't that, you know, it's not necessarily obvious. You have to let it be play. So do it and iterate. That's what stage four is all about. Like, let's tweak this dial. And it's so easy for the mind to go, well, this doesn't work. It does work, but you have to tweak the dials. And again, that's why you do the stage one and stage two work first. That one person with, you know, high ticket, that is the easy part. I know it's challenging too, right? Because we got to get past ourselves. But once we get past ourselves, it's easy and fun. We just got to own it. I see nods. Yes, you got it, Carly. Yes. So do it and iterate. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, that doesn't work. I didn't work. I did, you know, this challenge that doesn't work. I'm going to do something else. I tend to do that with the challenge. I tend to think, we need to have more people showing up at the challenge. We have so many more people enrolling, but I know that we're getting industry standard. We're doing really well because you have to have way more people enrolling than people who will actually show up. So I keep wanting to tweak that lever, but Amy, who's a genius at this, knows that what we're doing is really, really great. So then what's the right lever to pull next in order to not only grow, but scale, right? So so do it and iterate. And then number seven is, well, how do we do this? How do I even start to think about scaling and leveraging? If you're, you know, in stage one and you stage two and you go, oh my goodness, this is like, this sounds really complicated. It doesn't have to be. Like I say, just putting two people together, now you're already starting to do it, right? And it comes step by step. But here's the really cool thing. Stage two lays the groundwork for stage three. Because, well, how do I talk to many people then? How does that even happen? How do I know what to say to them? If you were thinking about that, Diane, I see you nodding. There's a great thing to be thinking. It comes right out of stage two. It comes from being on the court and doing the stage two work. Because you're in a strategy session with one person and you find yourself saying something. And then you're coaching and you find yourself saying something. And then you're doing the strategy session with the next person. And you're like, didn't I say that last time? And then you're talking to the next person. You go, didn't I say that? That is your system that gets discovered through working with people. Stages one through five are self-evident now in our company and in our community. And they become more and more self-evident as I explain them, but they weren't self-evident before until we created it. And how did we create it? Because of working with one person and another, and people were trying to do stage three activities. It's like, let me build the whole, I don't have a client yet. We had a client who did this years ago. I was like, please don't do that. Yvonne, you might remember, built a whole system, you know exactly what I'm talking about, a whole structure for an entire year, stage three activities without doing stage two. And every single time I coached her, I was like, please don't do that. Go work with one person. And it got harder and harder. And she pushed the launch out further and further because then there's so much riding on it and she doesn't know how to talk to one person yet, right? So it comes from the working with people here too. You work with those people. You start saying, did I tell you that part yet? Because you know that that's the part that you tell people. Carly, as you're talking to people, it's like, did I tell you the part about the, I'm thinking about what you did for me, pillows beside the window, right? You know, and that might be, you know, sound. Did we do that part yet? There's probably something with your clients that you work with that is akin to what you did with me. Have I talked to you about that part yet? You start to understand your system, your structure, and then that is how you get to go one to many because you've done the work in stage two. You've talked to people on the ground and you've worked with them. It's like, oh, it's that part. Oh, it's that part. And you start to see the system of your own work. And then that's really fun because then you're giving a talk and people go like, how did you know I was thinking that? It comes from the work on the ground of talking to all those people. And that person in front of you is their own unique human being, but they have the characteristics of your ideal client and they tend to feel that way. Out of that comes your talk. Out of that comes the workshop. Out of that comes, and it can come, you know, it can be so much easier when we know that this is how it works and we can think strategically. So the seven is how to do that. Start noticing your system. Noticing what it is you're doing with people. So that's how the sneak preview of stage three will help you in stage two. Oh, I can start seeing when I'm saying, oh, that again and again to people, right? So it's going to inform your stage two to know about where we're heading in stage three. And then number eight, the last thing I want to say is, because I know we got to wind up here, but it's all about systems and strategies. It's not random. People think, lots of people in the industry are doing podcasts. I think I'm going to do a podcast. And 6 months later, they go, oh my goodness, I haven't grown my business at all. And it's taking me like 15 hours a week. You don't have to, you know, why do that? What's the aim? What are you trying to achieve with this? And what's the most strategic move for where you are in your company, having grown your company? When is it time to leverage and scale and in what area so that your life gets easier and easier when you do it strategically, not like just throwing paint at a wall and seeing if it's, or what's the expression, throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing if it sticks. Is this making sense? I wish somebody had taught me these eight things. I mean, they did, but I had to pick it up here and there. And then I was like, oh, that's how it works. Fantastic. All right. So we're going to be able to continue this discussion next week. How does this apply to you? You know, what do you want to do from here? And then you'll know not to leap into stage three. But there might be pieces of it you can do. And how do you want to think strategically when you're doing stage two to prepare for where you're headed for stage three? Makes sense? Stage two and stage three work together, just like stage one and stage two do. They inform each other. but we want to do the right things, right time, right order. All right, fantastic. Thank you so much, you guys. Let's wrap up the call. Carly, you're in my upper left-hand corner. So one aha and one inspired action to take us home.
I think it was a big aha that it's, I already am doing one to many in some ways.
Yay!
So that's cool. And then inspired action is I'm going to continue working on my vision. I've made some good headway lately.
So good. It's the foundation. It's the foundation. And the more you can also see too, that stage one work of vision, that skill itself, which you, I know, use with your clients too. Like it's a big part of what you do for your clients, right? That visioning work in stage one helps us, that facility of doing that in stage three, because we envision our company. What would it look like? What scaling do we want to do? Well, how do we want to leverage? And it's a vision. So that visioning work, as we've done it well in stage one, is going to serve us so much when we get to stage three. These all go like hand in hand. So thank you for that, Carly. Beautiful. And when you notice you're already doing the one to many, it doesn't feel so far off over there. Oh, I'm already doing it. Oh, where else could I be doing it? Where should I not be doing it? What's strategic? Fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Diane.
And just as you were speaking there about vision, it just came to me that my vision is also part of my client's vision.
Absolutely.
Their life.
Absolutely. Because I have this vision of serving people in this way so that that happens to them. What do you know? That person in front of me, they're the one who wants that thing that I want to serve people. Like just to give one very clear example. And so I love that aha, because you start to see how the pieces fit together. Stage one, stage two, stage three, and the clarity of both envisioning things and taking those actions, and then how our companies grow. And it's not random that it happens, right? Yeah, really, really great, Diane. Thank you. And then your inspired action.
I think I'm going to do like Carly and just clarify my vision more, and then notice as I'm doing it that to aim it to what my client is also wanting.
Brilliant. Yes. And see, here's the thing, you, what you said too is so beautiful, because you talked about the vision and then when I'm doing it. So again, stage one, stage two, here's the vision and then out on the court acting. And notice that at the end of each call, I say, what's your aha? What's your inspired action? And it's right here, the structure of stage one and two, even in the calls. An aha is like a vision of something new, and then an action, putting it out on the court. Otherwise, what's the point, right? Mm-hmm. So it's embedded in when we're living well, as far as I'm concerned, we're doing that over and over and over again. So thank you for that, Diane, bringing together the vision and then out on the court acting and the client, all connected. Yes, yes, yes. Yvonne, one aha, one inspired action.
I think my aha, it was just something that kept coming back to me as you were going through the different areas. And I was like, you know, sometimes there's moments where I kind of go, like, I wish the dime had dropped a little sooner. You know, it's like having to hear certain things over and over again until I actually see the light and start doing it. And I'm, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm doing it now.
Thank you for that. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing with you, because we do that, right? And
right.
It's why it's so important to go back, to go back, to go back, because we think we've heard, and we could even say the words, but actually getting it on the court and in action and doing it, it's a whole other level. And I'm so proud of you for putting it on the court and for seeing that, because that's instructive to everybody. It's like, okay, I got that. What else? No, it's that, it's that, it's that. Deeper and deeper and deeper. And the world changes. It utterly transforms our companies, our lives, when we get that. Thank you for underlining that, my friend.
And yeah, it's because to me, you know, I just want to add on that I, you know, like, it's not about my free gift. It's not about my, you know, my website. It's about the conversations that I'm having. And it's actually more importantly about the conversations I'm not having.
Thank you. Thank you. Stage two, stage two, stage two, stage two, stage two, stage two, stage two. And clearly distinguishing, that's a stage two activity, stage three activity, and what's at the foundation. And without that foundation, we don't know what to put in the free gift. Without that foundation, what's the website even supposed to be about? And so many resources and so much time can be lost when we don't do the right things at the right time in the right order, which is why I mentioned the fax machine. So it's like we have a visual for, oh, right, like right thing, right time, right order.
You know, if I really think about it, that, you know, our companies kind of loop through to different stages consistently, right? We'll always be working on our vision, right?
Yes, and thank you. Yes, got it. Yes.
Our vision evolve. We will always be in stage two, you know, constantly making those connections and then, you know, doing the work in three and four and looping, you know, looping back basically.
Beautiful insight. And looping back in the sense that it's like, okay, I'm done visioning. Now get me to the next stage because I want my company to grow quickly. And then we go back to being the fictional version of Carly who tries to send her untrained assistant over to, then we just have a mishmash of a mess.
Because what I did,
it's looping back and going like, what's the vision now? What's the vision now?
Yeah.
And what's the vision for this piece? And what's the vision? So we sharpen those skills and we apply them in different areas and they are so intricately connected. And it would be mistaken to go, well, you know, I've graduated from vision, you know, like, oh no, there's a next level, the next level, the next level. And also the mistake of, I'm just going to envision for the next 3 years. No, they're connected. And then one does not go without the other. And they are sequential. And we need that envisioning work of stage one to even be able to imagine what we do in stage three. And as we know what is a stage three activity, we can start doing some pieces strategically in stage two. It will also grow our vision from stage one. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, my friend. Beautiful. And then what's your inspired action?
Taking a moment to send you a text.
That sounds perfect. I'm excited to receive it, my friend, whatever it says.
Because we need to rebook an appointment. So.
Bless you all. This has been just, if you heard 1/10 of what I did my best to deliver to you, this is company and life changing. Thank you for the nods. I see you. So have a fantastic, fantastic day. We will continue and deepen this discussion next week. Office hours tomorrow. Go ahead and ask your questions. Writing that strategic one question thing is, you know, well, strategic one line question helps us sharpen our strategic thinking and helps with all the different levels. So we have it in a different form in office hours to help you along the journey. Because when we can ask a very strategic question, we get strategic answers and it's a skill that builds, right? So have a fantastic week, everybody. Remember to register for Story Freedom, but before October 21st, remember you can bring that one person and we thank you for that. It helps us in getting our message out there. I know it will help you having that person who understands what it is, the journey you're on, and it will help them. If they only came to Story Freedom, we know lives have been changed there over and over and over again. And some of those people may be people that will be on a longer journey with too. And again, so we thank you for introducing us to your friends and colleagues. So have a fantastic day, everybody. Looking forward to seeing you again soon. Bye-bye for now.